Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RT.ie. When I was talking to Ronan an hour ago, I mentioned this review on entertainment.ie. It's a very, very popular website about Riverdance, the animated adventure, which is the new movie based on Riverdance, which dropped, I think that's the jargon, on Sky on Friday. And the review is scathing. This movie is exhaustingly bad. It's almost embarrassing. It's just the worst. It's like other terrible representations of Ireland, such as Artemis Fowl, Wild Mountain Time. And at one stage, we'll have to review her on in a sec, but Katie Ahern is in Cork. Katie, how many times have you watched Riverdance, the movie, you and your family, since it dropped on Friday?
Since we recorded it Friday?
Yeah.
Once a day.
So
it was on there when I came home a while ago. Again, my nephew had it on the television.
And what do you think?
I thought it was a lovely film. You know, like, I suppose when we were younger, our father was big into GA, and we were taken to Riverdance as kids. We were sent there as adults or teenagers. We were about 18. We were sent to it again. We did Irish dancing for years. And I just thought it was a lovely film, you know. Like, for me, just kind of reliving my childhood a bit. And, like, it's just, I just think it was nicely made. It's beautifully shot, filmed, you know, and it's, your magical creatures are in it. I just think it's a lovely film.
And who's the...
You know, it is what it is. It's a kid's film. It's an animated film, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, if you've watched it four times, it's a brilliant movie in your house.
It is.
You've watched it four times since Friday.
It is. Well, I suppose my nephew got treated to me showing him how to do Riverdance on Friday when it first came on. And he's 7, he's getting into hurling and things now, so he loves watching that and seeing, you know, the bit of hurling in it. And I think he just really, really liked it, and Mom liked it when she was watching it with us as well, his grandmother. You know, it's a nice film to relax and kind of, you know, take you out of your space, take you out of your own head for an hour or so, like, and it's beautifully shot, and the storyline's lovely.
It's animation. It's like Toy Story anime. That's the quality of it, isn't it?
Really good. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Deirdre Malumbi. Deirdre, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How's yourself?
Good. And how's yourself, as we say?
I'm very well, thank
That's
you.
Good.
And the sun is shining, so I'm in a great mood.
But you weren't in a great mood when you wrote this review.
Oh, no, I wasn't at all. And I wouldn't be comparing it to Toy Story anytime soon, to be honest.
Why did you write such a savage review?
I just didn't like this movie at all. I found it very cringeworthy. I found it very forced. I didn't really understand a lot of the elements of it. I understand that it is very kiddish and it is meant for that audience, but a lot of it just left me completely baffled, you know, at the standard of it. Now, I know that DreamWorks and Disney have set, like, quite a high bar when it comes to animated movies. But I mean, even you compare this to something like Cartoon Sleuth. I mean, they produced such amazing animated features recently, especially something like Wolfwalkers, which is up for the Oscar this year. And that just felt so much more authentically Irish, whereas this was very Hollywood hiddle-dee-dee Irish, if I'm honest with you. And I just find it very embarrassing to watch.
And what's wrong with the animation?
I don't necessarily have an issue with the animation. Like, it wouldn't be as high budget as something like Pixar or something like that, but it was probably fine. There were just certain scenes, certain lines in it that I found quite cringeworthy. Like, for example, the hurling scene left me kind of confused. The fact that the deer kind of creatures in it are using their antlers, which I thought made it look like Gaelic football or something.
But they were using their antlers as commands, as hurlies.
It didn't really look right, though, to me. I just thought it looked kind of weird, and I couldn't get into it.
Yeah. And why would you? Do you understand the magic? Sorry, not do you understand. Do you believe in the magic of Riverdance?
I do love Riverdance as a form of art, you know, and as a dance. I love dance myself. I just find this kind of weird. I find it weird to base a movie, a feature film,
on Riverdance. Yeah, but is it not weird? This is the whole magic of Riverdance. Is it not weird to base one of the biggest selling shows worldwide ever on an interval act in a Eurovision Song Competition, which was a group of people Irish dancing. Is that not weird in itself?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then the movie's going to be weird. So if that's what you believe.
Yeah, I just couldn't get into it. I just thought it was really embarrassing. Like I said, it's just very Hollywood Irish hiddle-y. So I just couldn't get into it.
Okay. Well, Katie, do you want to address that? Very Irish diddly-dee.
Yeah. Like, I didn't think it was... I thought it was okay, to be honest. Like, when you compare it to a lot of other stuff out there, I thought they kind of kept it less leprechaun-ish, for want of a different word, we'll say. I didn't think it was as bad. And they used a lot of Irish actors in it, with, you know, their normal accents, we'll say. They didn't make them put
on... John Kavanagh, Aisling Bea, Brendan Gleeson. Pauly McGlynn is brilliant in it. Well, The Voice.
Yeah, and they use their regular voices as well, as opposed to putting on, you know, fake Irish accents from somewhere else. You know, so I thought that was kind of more authentic than you would find in a lot of other Hollywood-type films, where even if they have an Irish actor or actress, they're made put on a fake Irish accent. You know, so I thought they kept it more authentic that way. And I suppose, look, it is and they're in a magical world.
Well, Deirdre doesn't understand how the deer are playing hurling with their antlers. But what did you think of that scene?
It didn't really come up. My nephew loved it. Yeah. He was like, look at them go, you know, that's cool. And he thought it was class when Keegan was giving his hurley and his helmet. And
is the little boy.
Yeah, and he went down and showed his skills off, you know. Like, I suppose I took it for what it was. A kids' animated show with imagination. You had these magical creatures. And, you know, that was just my opinion in it, not to get kind of locked down in the nitty-gritties. They were having fun playing hurling.
But I want to remind that your household has seen it four times. Who's been campaigning to watch it four times already since Friday?
My nephew.
And what age is
seven.
He? You see, is that not the point, Deirdre? It's not, you didn't look at it through the... you didn't look at it through the eyes of a child.
I suppose so, but then I'd watch other animated features that are just of such a higher caliber and just don't feel as forced. And for example, the characterization wasn't even very good. Aisling Bea kind of comes in for one or two scenes and does her Aisling Bea like skitty thing, and then she runs off. And then Brendan Gleeson is playing this kind of pirate bad guy who I never really got the motivation of. So I thought it was quite poor in that regard as well. And there were just some jokes in it that were just very immature. At one point, the sheep fart on the child
kids love that.
They
kids
do love their potty humour.
My nephew would have loved that.
Kids love farting, or sounds of farting, or animals farting. What did you think of, for example, when the sheep came rolling over the hill in this massive ball of wool? And I just thought some of the animation ideas in it were brilliant.
I thought it was a bit basic. Sorry, honestly.
Okay. Other reviewers don't agree with you, Deirdre. In the Sunday Independent yesterday, they say they gave it 4 stars, which I think was the best. Yeah, it was the best of Cruella, who you probably loved. Did you, Disney?
I wasn't mad about Cruella either. Okay. Maybe I'm just cynical.
Cruella got 3 stars. Riverdance got 4. Of the 3 movies, there's Breaking Boundaries. That's another movie. But Riverdance got 4 stars in the Sunday Indo yesterday. There is humour. It's more Irish. This is what I'm what they wrote in the Sunday. It's more Irish, although not Irish, than the Irish. But with Dublin 4 accents, there is humour, a little moralising. Well, that worked for me. And Riverdance joint elk. So what's not to like, Deirdre Malumby?
I just didn't think it was very funny. And I thought this, like I said, I saw Wolfwalkers last year. And I suppose for me, that is the standard when it comes to Irish animation.
But it's a different... But Wolfwalkers is a different type of animation, isn't it? It's more 2D than 3D.
Yeah, but it's still a better movie. It's a better story. Yeah. It's a better character. It's got a more deep message to it, I suppose. It doesn't do cheap jokes.
Yeah. 51551. Katie Ahern, what type of movies do you generally like, Katie? Do you like Irish movies?
Yeah, we kind of, at the moment, our house will be dictated by whatever the children want to watch. Yeah. I think we've had a lot of Kung Fu Panda on repeat.
Okay.
We've had like the Toy Stories. You've had all those kind of ones on repeat. I'm easygoing enough.
Okay,
that
so
kind of horror filming, I'll sit down and watch anything.
So the same children who loved Kung Fu Panda, Toy Story, love Riverdance, the animated adventure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
the worrying thing is for dance schools everywhere that are already overcrowded. Do any of your children want to take up dancing because of watching Riverdance, the movie?
Yeah, I suppose. Like, to me, I feel it probably might introduce a new generation to it.
Yeah, it will.
And hopefully, like for me, when I was watching it, I could literally remember all the river. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's this bit. And then I'd giving my nephew Killian an elbow going, this is the best part of Riverdance, this part coming up here, do you know?
Okay, let's listen to a bit of the trailer, insofar as you can make out. It's audio, obviously. Go ahead, Sheila.
Come on.
Whoa. Where are we?
Someplace magical.
Get ready to be razzle-dazzled.
Those deer, Keegan, their dance keeps the rivers flowing. This is the one you must stop.
It's just a legend.
The Huntsman. The Huntsman is coming.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That was Pierce Brosnan's voice, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. He plays two characters.
And Katie, what you know, people's initial reaction to Riverdance and then the show was the hairs. At some stage in the show, the hairs always stand on the back of your neck. You always get that sensation.
Yeah.
Does that happen in the movie for you or your 7-year old? You know,
for me, I'd say yeah, because I know, you know, because we grew up with Riverdance essentially.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we were young when it came out, and it was all over the place. So I know when the music's building and they're about to do, you know, the main part of the dance. And like, I'd be like, I'd say every time I've watched the film, I'd be like, this is it now, Killian, this is it. And I say, he is kind of like, okay, because he's never seen Riverdance. So he probably wouldn't get as excited for that as I would.
Okay.
But he enjoys the film, like.
Okay, Deirdre, you objected to, you felt, was it, what was the phrase, tone deaf or whatever, that one of the earlier scenes is a funeral and as a tribute to the man who died, the grandfather. No spoiler problems there. It happens in the first 10 minutes. They perform Riverdance outside the church. You didn't like that either.
I just thought that it was very tonally off for me. I mean, I thought that it was really sweet, the way that they incorporated the Riverdance. The whole idea is that it is a tribute to his grandfather who has passed away, who was a very kind of avid and enthusiastic and talented dancer. So I did enjoy that aspect of it, but it was weird kind of hearing the very, like, kind of, not high-pitched, but high-energy Riverdance mm-hmm. music at a funeral. I don't know, it was just, it didn't click for me, this movie, at all. I just didn't think it was very good at all.
Well,
it just
what about
felt very
the,
forced to
well,
me.
The funeral,
but I do appreciate, yeah.
But one of the things that struck me was that the first major bereavement a child will suffer, hopefully not, but hopefully they don't suffer any bereavement. But the first major bereavement a young child is that of a grandparent. And did it not deal with the death of a grandparent very well?
It did and it didn't. I mean, he just gets whisked away to this mythical world then. So I wouldn't really say that's, you know, your typical child's experience with grief. So I wouldn't really agree with that. And I mean, like, Disney have been doing the death of parents for how many years now? I just find it a particularly original animation, or just bringing anything new to the table.
Okay. Did you watch it alone, Deirdre?
I did.
Marion.
As I usually have to do.
I know, of course. I know, I understand that. Marion, you're listening. Joe at rt.ie, 1850-715-815. Go ahead, Marion.
Hi, Joe.
Have you seen it?
I've seen bits of it, but the kids absolutely loved it.
Okay.
My little boys thought the dancing was amazing.
Yeah.
And my little girl loved the female character in it, so I kind of watched
Maya.
It. I watched it on and off, yeah, Moya. I watched it on and off as I was coming in and out of the sitting room, but they absolutely loved it.
And did it stay with it to the end? It can be hard to keep.
They did. They stayed with it to the very end. I thought the animation was fantastic in it. I thought the quality of it was brilliant.
Yeah, so did I.
And I thought the voices were great as well.
But what do you think of what Deirdre is saying? It's exhaustingly bad.
I think she's. I think she needs to do something better with her time. I think I really.
I need to watch better movies.
Sorry, dear. Okay. You're not my kids absolutely loved it, but and I think that's the main thing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll totally admit I'm being a bit cynical here, and it is geared towards
you
children.
See, but
I
Deirdre,
just have
we
to
don't
watch it as a movie critic.
But is that not the is the word we don't need cynicism at the moment, Deirdre? Is that a very hard thing for me to say and a hard thing for you to hear? In that the country, we've had an awful pandemic. It's kicked us and killed so many people. And out of the blue comes this. I only discovered 10 days ago that it was made. Out of the blue comes this really colourful, joyous, incredible. Well, I know you disagree. Incredibly well animated movie with stunning music, and it's just. I think Katie said it's just uplifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there have been plenty of uplifting, you know, much better movies that have been released during the pandemic and have proved just as escapist. But I do, you know, totally accept that obviously this movie is going to connect particularly to Irish people, to children and everything. I just didn't think it was particularly well made, and I just found it quite embarrassing to watch. That's just me personally, though.
Okay. Do you dance, Deirdre?
I do a bit. Okay. I did Irish dancing like way back in my youth, but never really got into river dance. I wasn't really good enough for that. Maybe that's where the cynicism comes from. Okay.
Did you ever audition for river dance?
Oh, no.
Okay. Tara Howley is listening. Tara, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you getting on?
Good. And what's your connection with River Dance, the animated adventure?
So I actually recorded on the score.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Bill Whelan wrote the music, unbelievable, iconic score.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough to record some of the tracks on the movie.
And what do you think of what Deirdre is saying? Exhaustingly bad. I think I'm trying to find a headline. What was the headline on your piece, Deirdre? You tell me. Do you remember?
Something along those lines, bafflingly bad or something. Yeah. Now you're making me feel bad.
No, I'm not. I'm just going on. I'm just.
Well, look. I mean, I'm all about, you know, people. I respect that people have different opinions. But I personally, and I mean, the whole message of the movie. You know, I mean, like, I don't think she saw Deirdre. Is that your name? Sorry, I didn't.
Deirdre, Deirdre Malumbi. Yeah. She's a well-known reviewer. In fairness.
Yeah, I think the message is so much deeper than just seeing it as deers saying hurling with their antlers. You know, I think the message is about how art. You know, if you look at the storyline of the movie, it's so much deeper than just antlers and, you know, an animation and comparing it to, you know, to Disney or to Pixar. I mean, the message of the movie is this young boy loses his best friend, who's his grandfather. He loses his best friend, and he didn't want to DJ at the party. So, you know, not giving away the storyline for those that haven't watched it, but it's how art and music and life and how rivers, you know, without rivers, there's no life, and how music and art actually took that young boy out of a very dark place where he didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to meet anybody. And it takes that aspect of the Irish culture, you know, and sometimes when we're at our lowest, like you said, this pandemic has been soul-destroying for so many people, not just artists, and how she taught him to dance. She taught him, you know, look beyond yourself, look into your imagination. And it's so hard to explain to children about a pandemic. And I just feel that this movie, you know, and it even showed how life and music is life and music is art, and how art form itself is so, so important. In, you know, and I feel that that's the whole message of the movie. It's about imagination, about celebrating art forms, and how, you know, friendships are so important, and art and music being at the forefront of that, which is why the score that, you know, that Bill wrote is so iconic in this movie. You know, I feel like that's the, you know, and the demon represents, you know, the monster, which, you know, she said she didn't understand, that can be, you know, personified as anxiety, or it can be, you know, anything. It can be what you interpret it as. But together, we can come through this, you know. So there's a much deeper meaning. And, of course, then for children, they adore it. You know, it's hilarious. They've got talking sheep, you know. Like
farting sheep.
You know, yeah, exactly. And, you know, like, my cousins have watched it and they adore it. But, like, equally, my friends have watched it. And we were crying from the point of view that together, like, when we weren't able to play music together, we actually, you know, it actually brought us together. You know, it's so deep. It's such a deep, there's such a deep meaning there that I think a lot of people might overlook, you know.
Deirdre's What did you say? I had the headline up there a second ago. I'll take a quick break because I need to get that headline back up. 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia e-range of EVs and PHEVs.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're talking about Riverdance, the animated adventure. It's now on Sky and on Now TV, I'm told. It dropped on Friday. You can watch it anytime if you have those platforms. And I mentioned earlier that the review in entertainment.ie, which is a fairly popular website by Deirdre Malumbi, said Riverdance, the animated adventure, is a baffling, terrible children's movie, exhaustingly bad. And that's just the beginning of it. And at one stage you say, Deirdre, by the film's conclusion, I'm omitting some parts here since, who knows, someone might actually want to watch this movie.
Well, apparently a lot of people do and have.
Sure. Patricia O'Mahony.
How you doing? How are you?
Now, what do you think of what Deirdre has written about Riverdance, the movie?
Well, would she not put on her child's cap to review something like that? If, you know, she might be used to older films or more murder, whatever. With that film, it was just life. It was young. It was bouncy. It's what we need at the moment. I just wondered what kind of films did she look at when she was younger? You know, was it Mary Poppins? Was it, you know,
Harry Potter? Do you want to lie down on the therapist's couch there, Deirdre? What did you watch?
She is entitled to her own.
I know, of course,
and
she's standing over it.
Yeah,
Deirdre, what movies did you like as a child?
Hang on, sorry. Yeah, I watched a lot of animated movies, and I'm still a huge animated movie fan. You know, I have four younger siblings, so I've been watching animated features pretty much all my life. In my career, I try to review as many animated movies as possible because I absolutely adore this genre. I just thought that this, compared to other animated movies I've seen over the years, even over the last year, it was quite poor in quality.
Okay, do you
when it comes to aspects like characterization, like plot and stuff like that.
Patricia.
You're actually talking about the acting of it, I think, not the... Are you ashamed of, you know, you felt that they kind of slurred the Irish on it and it was really American-Irish. Is it the characters? Is it the acting? You know, it was so lively. And how they explained the death to the young, that was amazing.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Yeah, I find the characterization very cringy. Like I said, I felt like Aisling Bea was kind of just written in for the sake of having an Aisling Bea type. Brendan Gleeson as the villain, I didn't really understand the motivation of that character or how he was in any way interesting. I didn't really understand why some of the Deer characters had these kind of American accents going on. So, yeah, there were bits of it that just left me a bit kind of baffled, which I just didn't really understand. I appreciate the whole, you know, celebration of the arts aspect and its way of explaining grief and the process of that to children. I appreciate those elements. I just thought that there were several other elements of it that didn't really work.
And Patricia, what did you think of it?
It was, you know what, it's what we needed at the minute. I loved Riverdance. I didn't care who was dancing, what was dancing, pigs dancing. It's just that music gets to you.
You loved it. Well, to tell me why you loved the movie, the animated movie.
You know what, it was everything I thought it'd be, and I put on my child's cap and I enjoyed it, you know, and I'm in my 50s, you know, and I just took it for what it was, and it's Irish, it was lovely, it took us out of the pandemic for a while. I mean, on my bad day in the office I watch Winnie the Pooh, and all my friends know that, you know, you just go back to that era, you go back to your youth when you're watching something like that. She, you know, I wouldn't review it and put it down if that's how she felt. You know, that you have to just put on your young cap and listen to the animals barking and everybody else. And I mean, what did you do? You giddy giddy, you know, if you hear something, even nowadays, somebody farting in front of you kind of go, giddy, you know, and you just put your young cap on you.
Judy Owens, Joe at RT.ie, Judy Owens.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
You're listening to Deirdre, who did not...
I am.
Yeah, well, okay.
So I preface my remarks, first of all, by saying I haven't seen the movie, but oh my God, I definitely will source it now and watch it. But it makes me very sad to hear somebody in a position like Deirdre. I know everybody's entitled to their opinion, but Deirdre's opinion is in the public forum. So it's not just her opinion. And some people might hang on her every word and say, right, I'm not going to that movie. And where I'm coming from, excuse me, is I'm 30 years an art and design teacher, and I was the coordinator of a graphic design course in Galway Community College. And the back-breaking work that goes into a storyboard, which is not even the first step, but one of the earlier steps in creating animation. Every frame, every inch, every centimetre of your page has to be accounted for. So I know the amount of work that goes into a 1 minute animation, not to mind a feature length. And I think for Deirdre to dish it in such a casual, cavalier way is desperately unfair. And when Deirdre came on, she said, oh, I'm in a great humour today. The sun is shining. I would suggest maybe, Deirdre, when you are in a good mood today, watch it again and don't be quite so cynical. Look from the artistic point of view, the music point of view. And I know if Tara Howley was involved in the soundtrack, that it will be utterly stunning. So, you know, I think she was just in a bad place on the day she watched it.
Deirdre? Deirdre there? You there, Deirdre? Okay, Tara Howley, Tara, what you're involved in the music in Riverdance the Animated Adventure? What instrument do you play?
So I play the Illan Pipes.
Oh,
and
magic!
The low whistle. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but I just think as well, like exactly as that woman just said, you know, I mean, if you're going to write a review on something, and, you know, she explained on air here that it was how she didn't understand it and she kind of missed some of the points. So I feel, if that's her opinion, that should be more in the review. Or if she had the title as a confusing, you know, if it was something more, instead of just, you know, if she explained, I didn't understand it, everybody can accept that as that's fair enough. We don't all understand everything, you know, but I actually just looked at half the review, and I was, as she said, I just...
And what did you think when you read the headline, for example, as someone who was involved in the movie?
I mean, look, we can't.
Did your belly drop?
Did your heart sink?
Look,
there are reviews from people that don't understand things, and you know, if someone doesn't understand something, and what can you do? You know, it's just upsetting. It's upsetting, I suppose, from an artistic point of view.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody doesn't explain exactly what they mean by their review. In other words, I didn't understand why the deers are playing with their antlers. But sure, they're hardly going to play with their hands. They're a figment of their imagination. You know, that was the whole point of it. They took to this magical land and there was no time, you know. So they could have an American accent or an English accent. Sure, it's imagination. You know, I think imagination is so beautiful. And you know, I just feel for children to have something to laugh at now when... And there's music. It's a musical as well, and just music and life. And for him to be able to see his grandfather at the end of the film, you know, just to let children know who've lost somebody, and especially during COVID, they didn't get to say goodbye to their grandparents who passed away.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, they didn't get to say goodbye, and I just feel that they know that they're always there. You know, and there's such a deep meaning in it. And then obviously children won't understand that when they're watching it. They'll see the funny bits, as we all did, and I watched it with my sister, and I watched it with, you know, mom and dad, and it was just, I mean, music alone, and I know I probably sound biased, but I think everyone will agree that the music in Riverdance is just so iconic, and that alone will bring people, you know, the magic. It's just, it's magic.
There's a couple of new pieces in it, isn't there?
Written by Bill, yeah. So, you know, I mean, and they actually got to, you know, the orchestra, there is actually an orchestra in Vienna that they got to do, and David Brophy went out and he was quarantined out there, and they got to actually record the score. I mean, it's just, it's fantastic if you look at it from
there was another Irishman heavily involved, Eamon Butler, who's based in London. He was with Disney. He was in the Irish Army at one stage. He was with Disney. And now he's with CineSite. I just saw an interview with him the other night. Deirdre Malumbi, do you feel everyone is piling in on you at this stage?
Look, at the end of the day, everyone okay. who has spoken today is just doing their job, whether it's being a parent finding a movie for your kids to watch, right? Whether it's working on the music of a movie, whether it's working in the arts department or whatever. I'm a movie critic, so I am coming to this from that perspective of, like, watching this movie. Mm. And compared to other movies I've seen, I just found it quite poor. Like I said, particularly in relation to the standard of animation. And like,
is the most baffling thing you're saying, the standard of animation. I've tweeted the trailer. What is the problem with the anime? I think it's stunningly colourful and beautiful, and that's the only thing all your other stuff is people can take it or leave it. But to say that the standard of animation, i.e. the animators aren't up to standard, is wrong, I think, is incorrect.
If I may correct myself, I don't mean the actual animation itself. I'm talking about animation as a genre.
Okay.
So just to clarify that, I actually thought...
Well, I'm talking about animation. I'm talking about...
I'm talking
about animation as something to look at.
Yeah, I just didn't find it particularly kind of...
I don't wear my genre glasses most days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I appreciate you standing over your review. And then the other thing as well is, in fairness to you, Deirdre, it is a cartoon. It is a movie. Mm-hmm. So there's nobody hurt in the making of it, and no one hurt in the criticism of it either.
Hi, Joe. I mean, if anything, my bad reviews always get more people to watch it than the good reviews. Okay. So if anything, everyone will watch it.
No, I'm very like there's no children in it. There's voices in it. And they're very good. But your review is your review, and it's not hurtful in the sense that it is an animation. So
Joe.
Yes, who's that?
Hi, this is Judy again, Joe.
Judy Owens.
Yeah, I just have to slightly disagree with you there. Now,
okay,
I'm glad
okay.
Deirdre is on the line again. Because,
okay.
once again, it's not a one-dimensional piece that Deirdre was critiquing. It's many, many layers from the first mark made
on the page
right up to... And, you know, she has kind of backtracked slightly on that it's very poor animation, but... It isn't. It's stunning animation because, no more than yourself, I just tweeted the trailer.
Mm.
It's stunning stuff. And Deirdre's opinion, because she's employed as a film critic, does matter. So I would just ask her to review it again with a little bit more empathy and maybe a little bit more awareness of the where children come from and what they appreciate that maybe sometimes us adults, it might go over our heads. But I think the answer, using the answer for the Hurley, is ingenious. Fabulous. So just put a smile on your face, Deirdre, maybe watch it again. Maybe.
but Judy, we're in the very odd position now. Not unusual and doesn't invalidate anything. Where you haven't seen the movie and you're criticising someone who has seen the movie...
No. Indeed.
I know. You're taking the animation point there.
Yeah,
you can,
and remember,
you can
let's
get
be
the
honest
gist
now.
Of that, yeah.
Artists like Brendan Gleeson and musicians like Tara wouldn't, you know, put their name to something that was shoddy. It's no sooner than this call is over that I will look
okay,
at
well my,
more.
My big regret about Riverdance: The Animated Adventure is that it's not on the big screen.
Indeed, 100%, absolutely.
Because cinemas are closed. But I just think, anyway. Deirdre, you said, what's the worst movie you've ever seen apart from Riverdance the movie? Mrs. Brown's Boys, did you review Mrs. Brown's Boys the movie?
I actually kind of liked the series, but I wasn't mad about the movie.
Yeah, I was in the movie, so I'm very hurt. Okay, keep going.
It's been years since I've seen the movie now.
Okay.
But worst movie I've ever seen, I mean, Charlie's Angels 2 is one that stands out to me.
Okay.
But even this year, I don't know, maybe, you know, having seen Wild Mountain Time and Artemis Fowl in the last year, I just felt like maybe I kind of felt like I was comparing it to those two movies and there was something kind of cringeworthy about the representation of Ireland. But that's just my own interpretation.
Okay. What's
the best movie
you've ever seen?
Ever seen.
Yes. Well, what's your favourite movie? I know.
Oh, no, that's a bit unfair. They're two different things.
Okay, I know that. What movie do you go back to? Who was it earlier on? Was it Patricia who said when she's feeling fed up, she watches Winnie the Pooh? When I'm feeling fed up, I watch Dumbelievables, Pat Short and John Kenny. It gives anyone a lift. What do you watch? What would you watch again? Or Some Like It Hot or whatever I'd love. Well, what would you watch again?
I mean, in terms of like animated features, I have a really big soft spot for Shrek 2. I love that movie.
Okay.
I'm sure that's not really sending any kind of,
Okay. Thanks indeed, Deirdre Malumbi, and Deirdre Malumbi's reviews on entertainment.ie and Riverdance, the animated movie, animated adventure is on Sky, but you can also get it on Told if you have that Now thing you buy and put it in the back of your telly. Thank you all. 51551, wash hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. David Gannon emailed us over the weekend at Joe at RT.ie. David, what upset you? What did you notice?
I wasn't really upset, Joe. Just thought it was maybe a sign of things to come after the last recession. I was out having a coffee with a colleague on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And had the meeting outside, all done safely.
Yeah.
And on the way back, I dropped into a very well-known patisserie dessert shop who do lovely stuff. And the shop's amazing. I'd recommend it to anybody. It's cracking. I was bringing back the dessert for my...
It's called L'Art du Chocolat. It's in Maynooth.
But I didn't want to...
The French Quarter. It. The French... I will name it, yeah. The French Quarter in Maynooth. every shop, every coffee shop needs support. Go ahead. So what stopped you in your tracks?
So I was getting the fancy desserts for the mother-in-law because you have to keep her happy, as you know, Joe. And I grabbed a sourdough, a loaf of bread for the lunch. And when I went up to the girl, it was €12 for a loaf of bread. So I was a bit taken aback. And maybe it's just a sign of things to come, I thought, with inflation and everything else at the moment. It kind of reminded me of paying €5 for a coffee a few years ago, Joe, across the street. So,
but €12 for a loaf, what type of loaf was it? Torn over a Vienna?
Sourdough, Joe. Very popular.
I know, but what shape was it? Was it...
a big enough loaf, Joe, in fairness, for €12, yeah. It'd feed a family of four for a couple of days.
But was it €12 worth of a loaf, in your opinion?
I'd have to go back and try it. I love my good food. I love supporting local and supporting the Irish, and everyone should do it at the moment, but maybe €5 for a loaf of bread, max. But €12, I was just taken aback a little bit, Joe. So,
okay. The point I'm trying, it's oval shaped, I presume. The point I'm making is it wasn't an extra large loaf. That's what I'm saying.
No.
It wasn't going
to. I presume in making the loaf, there must be a lot of love and attention.
Okay, well, the man who sold it when you contacted us, we contacted him. Nicolas Bateau is the owner of L'Art du Chocolat in. The French Quarter in Maynooth in County Kildare. Nicholas, good afternoon. Sorry, my English is not great either. Are you there, Nicholas? Nicholas?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. How are you?
Good, and yourself?
Okay, Nicola. Why €12 for a loaf of bread?
Okay, first of all, what my customer need to know is that I do not make that bread. It's a company that makes that bread for me.
Okay.
This bread, if you expect to pay €5 for a loaf of bread, you need to know and to be aware of the way of it. First of all, this is it's a kilo and 400 grams of bread.
Okay.
And also, to be honest with you, Joe, I do not make a lot of profit out of this because this bread is made for us.
Okay.
We bake it, and then we sell it.
And how many loaves, how many €12 loaves would you sell, Nicola?
On a daily basis, we are selling, we bake in between 6 and 12 bread a day.
And that's what it, and is that your most expensive loaf? €12.
Yes, it is. Usually, we used to sell the shorter version of that bread, was 700 grams, and even that one was more expensive than the big one. So we swap onto the big one for the COVID. When the COVID arrived, we thought it was better for everyone to have a bread for the whole family. So we start to sell this bread. Now, what you need to know about that bread, they're all recipes, they are all flours. We talk about spelt, rye, they are expensive products, And I didn't want to show the bread that not good on the eye of Irish mm-hmm. people for having a good quality bread. As my dad was a baker.
Okay.
And it's dear to me to have a good selection of bread.
Okay. And you're from France, obviously.
Is
bread expensive in France?
It is. Compared to this one, of course it is not. But when okay. you go for a bread that a kilo and a half or 2 kilo bread, you will pay a fair amount of money for a bread like
okay.
this. But it's a knowledge that you have behind it. And this
that.
Bread, you need to understand that this bread is made of spelt. And spelt is a bread, that kind of bread that when you keep around the cloth and you keep it in a box, you will be able to keep that bread for 7 days without it to go stale. It will be a little bit harder, but it won't go stale completely.
Nicole, just give me a comparison. How much to buy a croissant in what part of France are you from?
I'm from the Basque Country.
Oh, beautiful! Down the south, south west. How much does a croissant cost in France from the boulangerie?
To be honest with you, I think it's in between. Depends of which bakery you go
for.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
But the most traditional one, you will get one for maybe 150 or 2 euro.
Okay, and in Ireland they'd be 250, wouldn't they?
Yes.
They'd be more expensive here. Yeah.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Okay. And has anyone else been surprised by the price, Nicholas?
There have been a few amount of people who have been surprised by the price, but at the end of the day, when we opened the shop, we were selling maybe 2 a day,
mm-hmm.
and then it increased over the years.
Okay, now we're selling 12.
So the people who buy the bread, they know the bread. They just know.
Okay, so
you were
selling 2 a day at 12 euro, and you're now selling a dozen a day at 12 euro. 12 a day.
But you see, I take in consideration that price. I do understand that some people are a bit stunned about the price, but at the end of the day, I can guarantee you that I buy the bread already expensive for myself to sell it again.
Okay, you're saying you're getting what you pay for. Now, someone said, and I understand volume and all this thing, but someone said this: you pay 50 cent in Lidl for a croissant. 50 cent.
Yes.
I know. Margaret Scully in Dundrum.
Yeah.
You, Margaret, good afternoon.
Hello there, Joe. How are you doing?
You sell sourdough as well.
Well, I'm actually selling the Roundstone sourdough in the farmer's market in Dundrum every weekend on Friday and Saturday. We're open there. And I work for Roundstone, as in I go into the bakery and collect the bread, and I actually see, Joe, the process mm-hmm. and the hand, you know, the people and the labour and the sweat that goes into making this particular bread that's been sold in Maynooth as well, you know.
And Margaret, it's the exact same bread, isn't it?
Oh, it's totally. Exactly the same bread. And, you know, we sell it. Our store is called Hibernia, and we're in the market, and we sell that bread. But, I mean, I started selling that dough last September. I was shocked when I first turned up. I thought, these people are got to be joking me. 12 euros for a loaf of bread. But then when I got to eat it myself, I suppose, and to understand the quality of the bread, and in particular, you see, there's a process that's used in making this bread. It's fermented for 24 to 36 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a very handmade, hand-kneaded, hand-leavened. Everything is done by hand, and it's so much more healthy than a normal loaf of bread that you would pick up, like your 50-cent croissant or whatever. And because of the process, it allows the nutrients to remain in the bread. So we would have a lot of customers who have gut health issues.
Okay.
And, you know, I would have maybe given them a sample because they came along and said, oh, that's outrageous. But most people come back, Joe.
And do you sell it for around the same price, Margaret?
Oh, absolutely. We sell it for 11 and 12 euros a loaf.
Okay.
And it's exactly the same loaf of bread. It's 1.4 kilos. Yeah.
Okay. David, are you convinced?
Well, I have to say, Nicola runs a great shop, and the two carrot cakes we got were amazing for €5 a dessert. So great, great shop. Okay. So I'm not really giving out. But I still think it's a bit pricey for regular bread. But maybe I'll try it.
Well, Nicola, do you sell, or Margaret or Nicola, do you sell half a loaf? Can you buy half a loaf? Half a loaf is better than no loaf at all.
Yeah, we sell half a loaf, Joe, in the market, and a number of people go for half a loaf. And I remember one week, one man came along, and he was shocked. He was a father, you know, a young family. He came back the following week. He said, you know what, you saved me money. I said, how did I do that? He said, my kids love that bread so much. We make toasties. He said, every weekend I have to shell out for a takeaway for them. Now they only want this bread.
Okay. So, David Gannon, who brought the word, Nicholas Bateau, owner of La du Chocolat and in Maynooth, and Margaret Scully. Thank you all. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia e-range of EVs and PHEVs.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie. Kerry Martin. Kerry, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
How many times has your daughter tried to make her first Holy Communion?
Oh, I think we've had our word about attempt 6 the next time we get round to it.
First Holy Communion, second Holy Communion, third Holy Communion, fourth Holy Communion. And six times. And what's happened every time?
I suppose with the different lockdowns, she was due to make it last May, and then her school obviously tried to arrange it a few times, and then the different lockdowns happened, and they were cancelled. And then in January, we tried to arrange one ourselves, where we just go to Mass and have our Holy Communion made as part of the 50 people in the congregation. And again, just over Christmas, I suppose that lockdown happened again, so we had to cancel that one. So she's starting to wonder herself, now that things are opening up and other people are getting back to normal. She's just wondering, you know, why it can't happen for them. You know, she's seeing people going to Mass, you know, having weddings and funerals, and wondering why they're not allowed to have their communion.
And all her pals as well, and if they're in the same school. And
Absolutely.
She's written, who did she write this letter to?
She wrote a letter herself and just asked me to send it to anybody who might be able to change the decision, I suppose.
She wrote this letter herself. Brilliant.
She wrote the letter, in bed one night
herself. It says, hi, she's in school. Now, she's in school. I'm not going to take her to school to read it. But, hi, my name is, I am in third class in school on Unifa. I am so sorry to bother you. I was meant to make my communion last May 2020. I was just wondering why you're allowed to have 50 people in a church for a wedding and you're not allowed to make your communion. I really understand your point that a lot of people will have big parties after, and I just wanted you to know that I don't care about the party. I just want to make my communion. And you definitely don't have to change any of the rules just because of me. Most of my class don't care about the party either. I just wanted to say thank you so much for keeping everyone safe and have a nice day. Please let us have our communion before we finish school. That is a brilliant, not one spelling mistake in it. Beautiful joined up writing. Grammar correct, syntax correct, full sentences, subject, verb, the whole thing. It's a brilliant letter, by the way.
Yeah, it was a lovely little letter. Yeah, she just wrote it in bed one night herself there.
No, you have to keep that and frame it.
Oh, we will.
Who did you send it to?
Oh, we sent it to the Archdiocese here in Dublin, and we sent it to Neffet, and we sent it to the minister. And then obviously yourselves. I suppose we saw what was happening over the weekends with all the stuff in the city centres, felt like, I think the reason that was given for communions not happening was the fact that people would have parties, and I don't think many of the people around at the weekend were celebrating communions or confirmations. So
I don't think running in your nude up and down South William Street, a 20-year-old is celebrating communion or indeed confirmation.
Did you get any
response?
We haven't. The Archdiocese did say they would send it on to the Archbishop, but that was the only responses we got apart from yourselves. So, look, it's just disappointing.
But from the 11th of May, this is the last time it's been mentioned, and it's not on any plan. Sure, it's not mentioned any lift-off lockdown plans.
And that's, I suppose, that was the other disappointment. We thought maybe on Friday there might be some change.
Yeah.
But our school did try and arrange it for May again, but then I think the Archdiocese sent out a letter just based on government advice that mm-hmm. communions and confirmations wouldn't happen. So that was the last kind of word we had on it.
In-person religious services can commence from the 10th of May, and the numbers attending funeral and wedding services can increase to 50. However, the public health advice remains that other religious ceremonies, such as communions and confirmations, should not take place at this time.
Yeah. Now, we'd be happy to go. We had been trying to just arrange it ourselves, where we just go to a regular Sunday Mass and just have it done. You know, if the school aren't able to do it for those reasons, we'd be happy just to go to a Mass and have her make her communion like that.
And what does she see the communion as? It's a milestone with our pals, is it? And
I presume, think it's everything. Yeah. They've prepared for nearly a year and a half now actually almost 2 years for their communion, you know, learning their prayers and doing all of that. And of course you've got the piece around having her dress and those bits. Mm-hmm. So it is. I think it's a really important milestone for lots of children, and I think that's what she feels she's missing out on at the minute. You know, and can't understand why everything else is moving on, but that's the one thing that doesn't seem to be changing for them.
And what about you mentioned the dress?
We have the dress, yeah.
But you have the dress over a year nearly at this stage.
We do.
And is she still? She's a growing girl.
She is. Now, she hasn't stretched that much, so hopefully it'll still be fine. You know, if we look at it, depending on when we get to do it.
Okay, well, whatever school she's in, I know we don't have to name the school, they should be very proud of her. And she's obviously got she's a brilliant family, but she's obviously got a brilliant teacher as well.
Ah, she does.
Look at that writing. Look at that composition. Okay, Kerry, point made. I hope. Just let me take one break and I'll come back to you after this break.
Thanks.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Kerry Martin's daughter has written to various members of the authorities from church to state. Five times she's tried to make her first Holy Communion. Five failed attempts. Not her fault, the pandemic. Sorka Donoghue is listening. Sorka, your point, please.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering why they weren't putting the communions on. I mean, obviously they're going to have events now. And they're going to have, you know, the pubs are going to be open and restaurants, and you're going to have weddings for 50 or more. So I don't know why they're so reluctant to have communions. I don't know whether they think they're going to be massive parties over 50 people at communions, but it just seems a bit weird.
Yeah, Kerry, if you want, is it a party afterwards? Is that the...
I know that at the when the first, just in the, like, the last time it was sort of the arch... diocese letter came out, that was what was mentioned, I think, by the minister, that there were, you know, the parties attached to communions and confirmations were the reason. Now, I don't know if that's the only reason. I'm baffled as to why they're the only sacrament that you're not now, you know, able to celebrate. So, I can't answer that.
Do you think the church authorities have been vocal enough in terms of standing up to the clampdown on I know religious services have loosened up somewhat, not totally. But do you think the church authorities have been strident enough in challenging the government?
Possibly not. I think if they were, that we might have been able to go ahead, even, as I said, to do it yourself as part of just a regular Mass, you know, where you don't bring groups of children. I know there's lots of schools that did it where they brought in groups of 15 children with their parents and did their communion like that. No, I would imagine they maybe haven't been. Obviously, I'm not party to those types of discussions outside. You know, I don't know how this decision was come to. it sort of makes you feel like that the communion and confirmation are not as important as some of the other.
Well, you see, the last, before the pandemic, BC, before COVID, the church, some church authorities were very critical of the expense of the communion, and some of them thought that the meaning of it had been lost. Is that why the church haven't been vocal in arguing that it should be brought back, and even in a much reduced form, but that the sacrament should still be at the centre? The sacrament should be at the centre of it.
Well, then you'd imagine that they'd be happy enough for people to organise their own, because it shows you're committed to the sacrament, opposed to it being, you know, and that's, and so I suppose our annoyance is that we're not even allowed to do that.
Sorka, do you think the church have been strident enough in arguing the case for sacraments like communion?
I don't know. I think the reluctance is there because of the whole party element. That's definitely what I read from the Dublin Archdiocese. They had some information on their website, and they were pretty much saying, you know, the reluctance is because of the parties. But, I mean, wedding parties would be always bigger than communions, which makes me kind of think it's weird. You know, we, since last May, there's been no word from the church at all. And I know they've had communions already in Bray, where I currently live. You know, they have had communions for other schools, which is what I thought was strange. Now, I know our church is quite small, so maybe it's limited in that way. But again, I think it just comes back to the party element. There's going to be these massive parties, which, you know, obviously wouldn't be happening. It would just be small family gatherings, you know.
But would you be willing, Saki, you think your church might be too small, would you be willing to move to a bigger church?
Ah, yeah, sure, yeah. I'm sure they could do that, no problem. You know what I mean? I mean, at this stage, her dress is tight on her, but she'll squeeze into it.
Okay. And many times has your daughter been told, or your child, and it's a son or a daughter, that the communion was about to take place and cancelled?
No, we only heard once, which is May, and after that it's been radio silence. I did email the church a few times in the summer because I know they were happening in July and August in the area, but then... No, nothing after that.
Okay,
we heard recently that maybe.
Okay, Joe at RT.ie. Mary Lane is in Donegal. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi there, how are you?
You believe, well, do you believe that the spike in Donegal with the number of cases was down to parties and bounty castles and...
It has to. Like, can I say, I am 100% in favour of children receiving their sacrament. Completely. I mean, it would be so important to me if I had a child at that stage. So okay. I'm not... 100%, I am not disagreeing with children getting sacraments, and I love the idea of children going in and making it individually at a normal mass on Sunday. I can't see why they can't have a couple of children, you know, week on week, and they'll eventually get through them all. But I think until people can have the cop-on factor to realise that the rules do actually still apply, and that social distancing and all of this is still a thing, I totally see where this bar on them happening is coming from. Because and it was easy to see in Donegal how it happened, because the spikes were in areas where communions and confirmations were happening. Do you know? And you mean, none of us like the phrase "the dogs in the street," no, but do you know, if the shoe fits, that is what was happening. And people just didn't have the cop on to not party hard afterwards.
And but a bouncy castle in terms of spreading COVID would be pretty.
But you don't have a bouncy castle for one or two children.
I know. And that's my point. Yeah. And well, but the other thing is, a bouncy castle is outdoors.
Well, it is, but you know, then but look, that's not how it works. When you have a few people around, people end up going inside. That, you know, the wine is flowing or whatever's happening. People need to go into the toilets. They're all sharing, you know, the one or two bathrooms inside the house. And, you know...
Okay, I take that point, yeah.
It's fine if everyone's outside and they're all 2 metres apart and whatever, but they still shouldn't have been having big gatherings anyway. And I'm probably not going to be popular with some people maybe that I know, that they'll know my voice and know my name or whatever, but... Like, until the cop-on factor is there, I can't see how this is going to change, even with vaccines and whatever.
Okay. Thanks to Mary Lane, Sorka Dunhu, and Kerry Martin. Kerry mentioned that she was one of the reasons she contacted us this morning was because of the scenes in Dublin city centre with young people at the weekend. Stephen Mullen is in Greystone. Stephen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How you doing? You say I'm 16 going on 17. I'm fed up being treated as a second-class citizen. Did you witness, I presume you weren't in South William Street, were you, at the weekend?
No, I wasn't myself, Joe.
But you've seen the reaction to it.
Yeah, I've seen some footage and images of the actual event itself, and I've, of course, heard about the backlash to it.
And what do you think of the backlash? Is it what you say, young people being treated as second-class citizens?
Yes, it is, Joe, because in general, the response to it has used very one-dimensional level of thinking. It's lashing out at young people for antisocial behaviour and for being out and about and being wild and misbehaving. But that's in the context of having a year and a bit of losing any social life in school and not really being able to experience the reopening of society in the same way because their interests have not been looked after throughout any of the reopening process.
And tell us about the losing the social life in school. People mightn't, who don't have young people your age in school, mightn't be aware of that. What does that mean, Stephen? You couldn't meet afterwards or...
Or at least if we could, that would be in an incredibly limited capacity. And it would, of course, be limited not only by COVID, but also by an anti-teenager sentiment that has been on the rise as a result of COVID, but it was already there beforehand.
And tell us, give me examples of anti-teenager sentiment.
Well, I think the backlash to what's happened in Dublin is just like one of the latest and biggest examples. But like, I would have felt it in my own life already, Joe. And also, I'm sure plenty of teenagers, I'm not sure how many will be listening now, but if any are, I'm sure they'll have examples from their own life as well of just people acting as if you don't have the same rights to be in the same spaces as other adults or other members of the community do.
And are you linking that to the reaction to Dublin city centre and indeed Galway at the weekend?
Yeah, I would, Joe, because that's saying, look, we're going to close off areas, look, we're going to demonise young people because of them meeting up in large groups and being in large crowds and such. But that's not thinking on a deeper level. That's not thinking, are we providing young people with spaces to actually meet in a way which is socially responsible? Mm-hmm. That's not thinking, have the circumstances we have thrust upon them caused this incident in the first place?
And what has the last 15 months been like, Stephen, for you and your pals?
It's been very tough, Joe. Like, thankfully, I've been blessed to still have good mental health throughout it. But I know others who have struggled tremendously with trying to readjust afterwards because it's been a horrible time. Like, we've had tremendous stress. Like, me personally, I'm 16, so I did my junior cert last year.
Okay.
And there's just constant, whether or not it's going to go ahead or not, the actual exam itself, and there's constant flip-flopping on schools reopening because the actual teenagers, the actual students were generally the last ones considered when the government was thinking about actions and reopening and going forward.
What do you think would happen, Stephen, if, as some people are arguing, that certain streets in Dublin should be shut down next weekend, the bank holiday weekend?
I think that would be a ridiculous overreaction. I think it would do a lot more good. Mm-hmm. Instead of closing off a street, instead of cordoning off public spaces, they're public spaces, they belong to the public, they shouldn't just be closed off like that because people are gathering in them. That's what they're for. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that should be done is that more proactive measures need to be taken. More public spaces, more of a space for young people in society, not just physically, but just that they actually get treated with some basic respect and decency, and then they might return the favour.
Because one of the arguments as to why Dublin, well, certain streets in Temple Bar and the South William Street phenomenon, is that Portobello Plaza, for want of a better word, that was barriered off last weekend, and still is, by Dublin City Council. And people said, well, the young people that used to hang around up at the canal, which is a lovely spot to sit, looking at the swans up there. And the baffling, I think one of the problems in Portobello was that while they were, certain outlets were selling takeaway alcohol, they weren't making any effort to clean up after the sales of the takeaway alcohol, which I know a number of pubs are doing in different parts of the city. Do you think it was wrong to shut down the Portobello Plaza in that way, to put a Berlin Wall around it?
Yeah, I think it is. It's I won't say unprecedented because it has been done, but generally you'd associate that sort of thing with a riot occurring, not with just some people gathering around. And ultimately, there was some harm done, and there was drinking done, and there was antisocial behaviour. But what was the reasoning for that? I think just saying we need to close off more spaces, we need to restrict more spaces, we need to restrict more things that teenagers and young people are allowed to do, that's just not going to work. That's just going to move the problem elsewhere. And we've seen Portobello Plaza being cordoned off. That didn't stop it. It just moved it to different streets and moved it to different locations. And that just won't work in the long term. And it was clearly a bad decision to make.
So you think it would be, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Stephen, but do you think it would be a dangerous decision if they shut down South William Street and Temple Bar this coming weekend? That there might be crowds gathering at the Garda barricades.
I think it would be, yeah, because that's just pushing younger people to the fringes of society more so and more so. And if they don't get treated with a sense of basic decency or respect, what reason do they have to do the same to society at large, to the people who are cordoning off these streets, who are pushing them further and further away?
Because I just have this image in my head since you said it, that in my head since you said it, that if the authorities put up barriers around certain streets, and all those streets around Temple Bar and indeed off Grafton Street are quite narrow little streets. Am I exaggerating when you say that could be a recipe for stupid behaviour, violence?
I think it isn't exaggerating, or it isn't blowing things out of proportion too much, because like, if people don't feel like they belong and they don't feel like they have a space, they're not going to act in a normal way. They're not going to act in a normal manner. It's not going to reduce antisocial behaviour. It's going to, if anything, increase it.
Okay. Loretta is in Ennis and is listening. What do you think of what Stephen is saying, Loretta?
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are we?
No, I'm just very annoyed. This is not the first time this has been said about the young people having a social life. Young people forget that people, men and women, in their 80s, 70s, 80s, even in their 90s, had a social life as well. But we are the people that have been obeying all the rules. We have obeyed Dr. Houlihan. We have obeyed the government. We have got our, we've worn our masks. We've distanced from people. We are the people who are minded, doing what we're told. And the young people are congregating weekend after weekend after weekend.
But that's what young people do, Loretta. That's what.
Hold on a second now. Okay. It's a pandemic. This is not going to go on for 10 or 15 years. Hmm. It's please God, it will be over by the end of the year, this year. And then, at least they have years ahead of them to socialise.
Okay.
Maybe we don't.
And you think young people aren't pulling their weight? Is that?
No, they're not. I'm not saying that all young people.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not
tarring
the ball
with
the same brush. I'm just saying that a lot of young people are not listening. They're not. They're misbehaving, in other words.
Okay. Thanks, Loretta. Thanks, Stephen Mullen. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Fergus Sweeney producing. Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia e-range of EVs and PHEVs.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815. Stays open until 3:15 p.m. Or email joe@rte.ie.